My skin is black.
What you looking
my
at?
My skin
yeah.
is black.
I feel so good to be black right now. What you look?
All right, so welcome to episode 164 of the Black in Fashion podcast. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. I am Lenise Collier, and I am your host. I hope that you guys are sending in your black nose. We want to know what it's like to be black in fashion from your point of view, so that way we can create our full-on installation exhibition that we're going to be doing in Brooklyn for 2024. All right, so today I am joined with Shaniqua. How are you, Shaniqua?
How are you? I'm good.
So I feel like you got a lot of hats. She is an influencer. She is a content creator. She is a model. She is a stylist. She is a wardrobe builder. What else? What I'm missing?
I think you covered it. Except for model. I'm not a people think I'm a model.
You, but it's a girl, because you could have fooled me. Brand ambassador. Are you a brand ambassador?
No.
Okay, so I'm like, same. I'm like, brand ambassador, model, all that is the same. But that's what's up. So I want to know a little bit about where you're from. What was your career path, or what did you do? Like, where you grow up at? And then, like, what was your career goal? And how did you set it going with the fashion book?
Well, I am from Brooklyn, New York, born and raised. I went to school actually for nursing.
Oh, really?
I went to school for something completely different from where I'm in right now. Yeah. I worked in Coney Island Hospital for 5 years. I just didn't have a passion for it. I felt like my family was pushing me to do it, because like my mom actually wanted to be a nurse, but she got pregnant with me as a teenager, like her last year of high school. Mm-hmm. So that kind of like stopped her plan. So I felt like she was pushing it on me so much, and I'm just like, okay, mm-hmm. you can make good money. And my mother said I should be a nurse and job security and all that other good stuff. But I was so miserable when I worked in the hospital. I was so miserable. But how I got into fashion, it kind of happened by accident. Like, I was always into taking pictures. I was always into fashion. And a friend of mine needed a stylist for a job. Like, their stylist had, like, something happened, and she couldn't show up. And he was like, you think you can do it? And I'm like, I don't know, but I guess I could try, you know? But nobody on set knew that I didn't know what I was doing. So I was, like, my anxiety was on, like, 200. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, my God. And they were like, oh, you killed it. You killed it. Like, at the end of the day, and I'm just like, y'all don't even know. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I haven't, because at that point, I had just showed up, and I knew how to put things together, but it's so much more to being a stylist than just dressing people.
Absolutely.
It's like a whole business aspect to it, and I didn't, in the beginning, I was not doing the business part right, obviously.
Gotcha.
So I was getting taken advantage of a lot, not knowing the right things to do, but that's kind of how I got introduced to fashion. I had a few jobs in between the, after I left the hospital, but I was like, that's when I started building gotcha. My like fashion career, I guess you could say, but it kind of just happened by accident for me. It was just kind of like, oh, I'm just throw you in here and you just figure it out, and that's.
But that's the best way to learn. Like, when you like being thrown into like the fire and stuff, you just never know what's gonna come out. And what it does is it shows you how like a chameleon you are, like how you can adapt to like mm-hmm. any type of environment. So that's the best. Me, girl, put me in the fucking fire. I'm gonna figure it out. Like, that's how you do it. So can you tell me about a little bit about like your favorite project like thus far that you've worked on? You're like, you know what? That's the one.
I don't know if I can say I had a favorite project yet.
Not yet.
I don't think I've had one yet. Like, I've had the pleasure of, I shot a Beats commercial with Sweetie. That was pretty dope. That was actually really dope that I got to do. Other than that, like, I feel like a lot of my clients are music based, and mm-hmm. I work with like a lot of rappers. Actually, I'm lying. I did just work on a project in December. I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but it was different from what I'm used to. Okay. Or what people are used to from me, rather, I would say. Mm-hmm. It was more on the corporate side, and we got to... Well, they haven't released it yet, so I don't know if I can really, like, say in full, but...
Maybe we on the low. But you can speak in code. You can speak in code.
It was... So, I'm... Everything that I do is, like, heavily 90s inspired. If people okay. look at me, you can see, like... I was inspired a lot by 90s fashion, 90s music, because I grew up in, I was born in the 80s, but I grew up in the 90s. Mm-hmm. So this particular project, it was based around HBCUs,
okay.
which it was, that was something that I always wish I went to. I went to a community college, but mm-hmm. as I got older, I'm like, damn, I wish I would have went to HBCU.
Me
you know?
Too, girl.
So being able to work on a project with that and like bring... So my inspiration was A Different World. So we kind of mm-hmm. was able to recreate something similar to that for a big corporation.
Yes.
And I was really excited about that, because I got to really get into like what inspired me. So okay. looking at, so like watching A Different World and Fresh Prince and all those shows growing up, And then being able to recreate something like that in today's time, it was pretty dope. So between the Beast commercial and that, that's probably, they're probably like neck and neck right now. Because I was able to be super creative.
But those are like two really dope accomplishments for you. Like, you ain't got nowhere to go but really like up.
Right.
So tell me this. What would your biggest op say about you? And is it true?
Oh, man, I don't know. I think I have a lot of people who don't know me personally, and they say, like, I'm, like, mean, or I'm a bitch or anything like that, or I'm not approachable. And I think it's just because I have, like, resting bitch face. So people, it's really just my face, I swear. Mm-hmm. And I feel like people have this preconceived notion about who they think I am. Or just women in fashion anyway. Like, even if you look at all the fashion movies, like Devil Wears Prada, like, we're all kind of put under this umbrella that we're snooty and we're, and I'm just like, no, like, I'm super, super down to earth. Like, I'm funny as hell. Like, you know, like, I'm sarcastic. I'm not, but I think that might be the thing for people who don't know me. That's the first thing they would say is like, oh, she's not approachable, or she's not nice, or she's not friendly. And, well, maybe I'm not friendly, but not friendly, but I just, you know, being born and raised in Eastern New York and just being from Brooklyn and being from certain environments, you're just very cautious of people.
Right.
I put it that way. So, not friendly, but definitely
cautious.
Right.
Ain't that wrong with that?
Right. You gotta be, because right. Okay. People crazy.
Girl, what are you telling? I'm from Chicago.
I've never been to Chicago, and I want to go. Like, it's on my list this summer.
Yes, as you should. Okay. I don't have to show you the ropes, girl. I'm actually going next, in like 2 weeks, then I'm going a week after that. But, girl, well, me and my friends, our big thing when these kids were sleepovers. I'm going for a sleepover. Like, niggas is old as fuck.
You know I was never allowed to go to sleepovers?
Really?
Nah, man.
That's our, like, we was having these shits. We were 6 years old. The same group of girls. I've been friends with my best friends since I was six. And it's six of us, randomly. And that's why I'm doing a sleepover for my 35th. I'm like, oh my God.
That sounds so cute.
It's so nostalgic.
I never.
And we got to wear the same color pajamas and shit. And I'm like, this is going, like, are we ordering pizza? Are we going to the route to go juke? Because I know, well, in New York City, y'all, like, Caribbean culture, so like, y'all wine. In Chicago is like juke, and it's like house music and shit like that. It's like, oh, we gotta go juke somewhere, but that's how we use it.
Yeah, I was never allowed. I had a very country grandparent, or my grandmother. She was very strict on.
Where was she
was from Charleston.
Gosh, yeah, and from Mississippi.
She's like, hey, your friends can come over here and spend the night. I don't know who in their house. I don't know if their mama's got boyfriends. She was just very, just because of her own, like, experiences growing up, things that she went through. So she was just like, yeah, the sleeping out is not happening, but they could come stay here. Her door was open to anybody, but I didn't really get to come. No. Mm-mm. Especially if it was a man in the house. Absolutely not.
It was crazy. All that shit, we was mostly all women, too. So, you know, I got to ask you. Raya put me up to it. The bag. The infamous bag. I have to do it. I have to, because I need to know, too. Mm-hmm. I just got to know.
So, the way the bag came about, it was a collaboration. Mm-hmm. And I had never done anything like that before. I've never actually, like, designed. Like, I'm actually working on my own stuff now. But at that point when that happened, I had never actually sat down and designed anything. Like, I've always had ideas, but I can't draw. So it was like I could never really put it on paper. Mm-hmm. So when she reached out to me to do the bag, I was just like, you sure you want to do it with me? Because I don't know if I'm capable. This is, yeah, I'm into fashion, but, like, the design aspect, I hadn't tapped into that yet.
Right.
And she just was like, oh, like, just give us some thought and just come up with some ideas. And I remember this is before, like, the round bags were really trending. And I was just like, I think that'll be cool because we don't see a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And we came up with the concept, and she added, like, her, you know, like, the balls on the front. That was, like, her signature for her bag. So we had added that. So originally it was just, like, whip stitch and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So when I seen the final, I was like, oh, this is, like, so, like, for me, I had never done anything like that. So I was like, I'm capable of doing this, you know?
Absolutely.
And that's pretty much just how it happened. We went back and forth for maybe about 2 months. Mm-hmm. And it was so funny because she was just like, for you to not be a designer, like, you're very, like, you know what you want. Because, like, she was sending stuff back. And I was like, no. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not it. Like, I was kind of, like, really, really stern because I knew what I wanted it to look like. And I wasn't satisfied until it looked like what it was supposed to look like.
Gotcha.
And I presented it to the world, and, like, they sold out in 2 hours. And I was blown away because, again, I've never designed before. I've never sold a handbag before, especially at that price point. They were priced at $500.
Right.
So it was like, people gonna really buy this? I'm like, okay.
But why did they sell out so fast? Like, what was up with the inventory?
So she wanted to make them limited. So we only did 50. She only made 50. So pretty much her brand, she was reaching out to, like, other creatives. She had done a collaboration with a friend of mine before me. Mm-hmm. So everything is, like, limited. So it's like, once you Once it's gone, it's gone. But then we had spent the block because so many people had missed it.
Yeah.
And she was like, maybe we should just do a second drop. But that's pretty much what her brand is based off of, like, exclusivity. So it was like, we're going to do 50 or 100, and then when they're gone, they're gone.
Well, okay. Because I'm like, y'all could have capitalized on that so much. Like, but I understand, like, not wanting to, like, saturate the market. But then it's just like, if the band is there, it's just like, give the people what they want. But that's also the merchandise of me just talking, like, because I'm a merchandiser, but I'm like, I own a factory in Bushwick. Right. And I'm the same way. I'm just like, okay, but how can we capitalize and get the most profit? Like, mm-hmm. how do we monetize this? So, but I feel like y'all need to do another drop. Maybe a different color, or maybe like another fabric or something like that.
I do think that the next bag I drop, I don't, I think that, it's just time for me to do it on my own.
Gotcha.
It's,
I can help you.
Yeah.
I have the garment district tour, so I can teach you how to do everything yourself, from the picking of your fabric mm-hmm. to where you get it manufactured. And the funny thing is, you can literally get everything on Recor because everything's on the same block. It's right mm-hmm. in the garment district.
Right.
So all you gotta do, like, you don't have to know how to draw. As long as you got the idea, mm-hmm. the vision, can sketch it out, you give it to, like, I make the pattern or they can make the pattern, but you can literally have a bag in 3 weeks.
Honey. Yeah, we gotta listen.
Like, and like, literally, when I tell you, like, if I just show you how to do it, like, it's boom, boom, boom. It's so easy. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier than people think, but you ain't gotta go to China route. Like, you can do it right here. So, right. Like, it's more like hands on.
Yeah. Because I was working on some samples of some things, and the manufacturer was actually based in Korea. I was just gonna fly there. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just gonna,
It's right. It's your thing. It's a promise. It's really dope.
Yeah, because I need to get it going. I've been sitting on a lot of ideas for a while. And I have a brand, it's called Southern Melrose. It started out as an accessory brand. I literally started it during COVID. We were in the house. I was losing my mind. Mm-hmm. And I'm a very, like, hands-on person. I'm a very, like, DIY person. So I started this accessory brand, and I was not expecting it to do what it did in the 8 months that I was actually up and running. So I was just like, oh, okay. And then what happened was, outside open back up, right? So now I have clients, I gotta be on set. Yeah. So I will say that I kind of just not push it to the side, but just getting back to what I consider to be like my consistent income, it took priority over that. And hindsight is 2020. I wish I would have put more time into it, because that could have definitely been a six-figure business by now. So my first month I did 30k.
That's what's up.
And I didn't know what I was doing. Like, I had never been in e-com before,
right?
So right. So I'm just like, so now I want to rebrand Southern Melrose, and I want to add clothing, I want to add accessories, a handbag, there's so many things that I want to do for it, and I just want to make sure that it's right.
Absolutely.
It needs to be right. It needs, like, once I put it out, I don't need to, like, lose sleep over it. I need to be like, I put my all into that. Everything is perfect. We good. So that's coming this year, though. It's definitely coming, because we're gonna chop it up, because it needs to happen. And I have an idea for three items, actually, that I've had written on paper. It's just not drawn out yet, because I can't draw. But I wanted it for spring. I definitely wanted it. I wanted the dress and the jacket for spring for sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Southern Melrose is definitely.
Well, you know, if you do the spring collection, girl, you like 6 months behind.
I know. But see, that's another thing too. I'm a very unconventional person in fashion, because I know fashion has a calendar, right? I don't really operate.
No, you don't have to work by the calendar, but you gotta be able to start the process so that you can get to the calendar. So I don't work off calendars either.
Right.
But whatever you do, it don't matter how you drop it. You can drop shit every month, but you gotta work at least 4 to 5 months backwards because of the pattern making, that's going to make the sourcing and the production time.
Right.
Do it more so like the amount of time it takes to get from concept to consumer, not that bullshit about, this is spring.
This is right, fall. Right. Because I don't want to do like collections. Like, I want to put pieces together and I want to drop them. Right.
Just drop. Yeah. And that's how I teach my clients to do it too. Because I'm just like trying to do that season shit. People shop year round.
Yes.
The consumer shops every freaking week. So why are you like trying to like do like certain collections at a time where you can do smaller drops, exclusive drops, and then you can make more money and you can be more profit, like a better profit margin.
Right. Exactly. It's like swimwear brands. People are like, why they have, because people vacation all year round. You need swimsuits all year round. Yes. So it's like, I definitely didn't want to fall into that. Because I feel like when I first was rebranding Southern Melrose, I was trying to follow that. Mm. And I just was like, this doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
I don't shop that way. So it's like, why should I, you know, create anything this way for my audience or my customers when I don't even shop that way?
Exactly.
Like, it'll be August and I'll be buying a winter coat because I like it. I want it now. Right. You know what I mean?
And you gotta, I think that, That's a great thing that you can understand that, because understanding consumer behavior,
right?
Like being able to see it from the consumer's eye, because as designers, a lot of time they just make shit that they like,
right?
Whatever they think is gonna sell. But being able to take off your designer hat and see it from the consumer eye, because you're a consumer yourself,
right?
How do you shop? You
know, right.
Here now, buy now. I don't want to pre-order shit, or that shit don't come out until like 7 months from now. Like,
right,
makes sense. Yeah,
but it's even the same thing with styling too. I tell people all the time. Is one thing, you can have a person that's really, really stylish. They look really good all the time, but styling is, dressing yourself and dressing somebody else is completely different. So, like, boom. It's kind of like it goes hand in hand, like the same way you say, like, understanding consumer behavior, understanding that I may know how to dress, but they may not know how to dress someone else. They only know how to dress for themselves, their body type, their style, the way that their mind works.
So, basically,
works.
Everybody can't be no stylist. And if you call themselves a stylist,
yeah.
That happens every day.
Yeah, but I mean, listen.
Yeah,
is money out here for everybody?
It's out here for everybody.
But
absolutely.
When it comes to the artistry, it's just very, it's very different.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I'm not gonna make my clients look like me, and I feel like, yeah. So.
Okay. So before we get out of here, my last segment is called "Is a Success." It's a muse. So tell us a inspiration, a quote, a mantra. It could be a prayer, a reading, a poem, anything that just like continues to keep you pressing forward, just like in your journey in entrepreneurship.
Well, one thing that I have adapted with lately is that you can multitask, but you can't multifocus. Mm-hmm. And because I am a person, I will have 5 ideas and I will simultaneously be working on all 5 at the same time, and then 3 will never get complete because I'm not given the amount of time that they need. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that quote, I don't even remember where I saw it from, so if I took it from somebody and it's yours, be by all means claim it, but it stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I need to start implementing that. Like, you can multitask, but you cannot multifocus. So you need to focus on one at a time. Everything can be on the list, but you got to prioritize it, and you need mm-hmm. to focus on what needs to be done so you can get that done and then move on to the next thing. Because doing 10 things at one time, something is not going to get your full attention, and you're not going to do it to your full potential, and then you're not going to be happy with it, and you're going to have to start from scratch. So that will be one quote that I have been implementing lately.
I love that. I'm a victim of that. Sometimes I try to do too much, and then something always I kind of like. So I appreciate that. Let me just focus on one thing. So last question. What would your biggest supporter say about you and why?
Oh, man. I don't know. They say so many nice things to me on Instagram. Not everybody, but mostly everybody.
Your biggest supporter.
They always say like, oh, you inspire me and stuff like that, but I think one of the biggest things I get compliments the most on is my resilience, like me being able to just like from the mud to the top, back to the mud, back to the top. I think that's something that they admire the most about me, and I'm not gonna say it's easy, it's not easy, but it's like, what's gonna happen if I stop? Mm-hmm. I can't.
True.
It's going to be harder if you stop, right? So why stop, you know? So I think that's one of the biggest things that I hear the most, you know, and I have conversation with a lot of my followers sometimes in DMs, the nice ones, because everybody's not nice. And,
don't tell me about.
You know, we all going through life, right? Whether we're at the top, in the middle, at the bottom, whatever, we're all going through life, and they kind of just come to me with like, girl, how? I'm like, girl, what is going to happen if you stop? Mm-hmm. What happens when you stop? Not saying it's not going to be hard, but I'm very big on, I hide things really well. Mm-hmm. So I be looking at them sometimes like, girl, this month is horrible. Girl, I ain't left my house in 2 weeks. And you asking me for advice, but it's like I carry it so well. And again, I can't. So again, I have to put that to the back. And when things need to be done, they got to get done.
Absolutely.
So, you know.
All right, well, thank you so much for joining us. Do you have any events or anything coming up? If not, just throw out your social media, how to contact you and how to work with you and like what your services look like.
Okay, well, I don't have any events, but if anybody's listening and they want me at an event, you can find me. You can find me on Instagram.
Yes, shameless plug.
You can find me on Instagram, Simplicity X Style, but it reads Simplicity N Style. People always say Simplicity Time Style, but it's Simplicity N Style. Mm-hmm. I am also on TikTok, Simplicity X Style as well. And you guys can now find me on YouTube. I'm a new YouTube baby, so Simplicity N Style, you can find me there. Mm-hmm. And my email is in my bio, so anybody who have any questions, again, if you want me in at your event, you want me speaking on your panel, if you got your athlete, rapper, holler at me. So yeah.
Yes, love that. Thank you so much for joining me today. And as I always say, stay black. Peace out.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.